son, Canto 4, chapter 22. Prithu Maharaj is meeting with the Kumaras. Text 35 and 36 on the board. What does it start with? Okay, 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Hare Cha Ye Bhava Yachikaradan Anu Na Tesham Vidyate Shemam Isha Vidvam Shita Shisham Hare Vare Chaye Babaha Guna Bhatikar Hari Vare Chaye Bhavam Guna Vaita Karadhanum Natisham Vidyati Shemam Isha Vidvam Shita Shisham Hari Vare Chaye Bhavam Guna Vaita Karadhanum Nati Shambhidati Shemam Isha Vidvam Shita Shitam Hare Vare Chaye Bhavam Unavayati Karadanu Nati Shambhidati Shemam Isha Vidvam Shita Shisham Hari Hare Kriye Baba Gunam Siti Karadam Gunam Adi Karadam Nisham Material qualities, Vyatikarat, By interaction. Anu. Following. Na. Never. Tesham. Of them. Vidyate. Exist. Shemam. Correction. Isha. The Supreme Lord. Vidvam Sita. Destroyed. Ashisham. Of the blessings. Translations and purports by His Divine Grace, Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Out of the four principles, namely religion, economic development, and sense gratification, and liberation, liberation has to be taken very seriously. The other three are subject to destruction by the stringent laws of nature, death. We accept as blessings different statuses of higher life, distinguishing them from lower statuses of life. But we should know that such distinctions exist only in relation to the interchange of the modes of material nature. Actually, these statuses of life have no permanent existence, for all of them will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller. Please repeat. We accept as blessings different statuses of states of higher life, distinguishing them from lower states of life. But we should know that such distinctions exist only in relation to the interchange of the modes of material nature. Actually, these states of life have no permanent existence, for all of them will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller. Moksha, or liberation, has to be taken very seriously. Even at the sacrifice of the other three items, as advised by Suta Goswami in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, religious principles are not based on success in economic development. Because we are very much attached to sense gratification, we go to God, to the temples or churches, for some economic reasons. And then again, economic development does not mean sense gratification. Everything should be adjusted in such a way that we attain liberation. And therefore in this verse, liberation, moksha, is stressed. The other three items are material and therefore subject to destruction. Even if somehow we accumulate a great bank balance in this life and possess many material things, everything will be finished with death. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that death is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who ultimately takes away everything acquired by the materialistic person. Foolishly, we do not care for this. Foolishly, we are not afraid of death, nor do we consider that death will take away everything acquired by the process of Dharma, Artha, and Karma. By Dharma or pious activities, we may be elevated to the heavenly planets, but this does not mean freedom from the clutches of birth, death, old age and disease. The purport is that we can sacrifice our interest in Trivarga, religious principles, economic development and sense gratification, but we cannot sacrifice the cause of liberation. Regarding liberation, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Bhaktvati ham puna janmana naiti. Liberation means that after giving up this body, one does not have to accept another material body. To the impersonalist, liberation means merging into the existence of impersonal Brahman. But factually, this is not moksha, because one has to again fall down to this material world from that impersonal position. One should therefore seek the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in his devotional service. That is real liberation. The conclusion is that we should not stress pious activities, economic development and sense gratification, but should concern ourselves with approaching Lord Vishnu in his spiritual planets, of which the topmost is Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna lives. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest gift for the persons who are actually desiring liberation. Purpose. Again, another one. That's one. Long purpose. In our material existence, we accept the higher form of life as a blessing and the lower form as a curse. This distinction of higher and lower only exists as long as the different material qualities, the gunas, interact. In other words, by our good activities, we're elevated to the higher planetary systems or to a higher standard of life. Good education, beautiful body, etc. These are the results of pious activities. Similarly, by impious activities, we remain illiterate, get ugly bodies, poor standard of living, etc. But all these different states of life are under the laws of material nature, through the interactions of the qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance. However, all these qualities will cease to act at the time of the dissolution of the entire cosmic manifestation. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, Abrahma bhuvanal loka puna avarti najun mam upetya tukuntiya puna janma na vidyate. Even though we elevate ourselves to the higher planetary systems by the scientific advancement of knowledge or by the religious principles of life, great sacrifices and fruitive activities, at the time of dissolution, these higher planetary systems and the life on them will be destroyed. In this verse, the words Isha Vidvam Shita Shisham indicate that all such blessings will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller. We will not be protected. Our bodies, either on this planet or in another planet, will be destroyed. And again, we will have to remain for millions of years in an unconscious state within the body of Mahavishnu. And again, when the creation is manifested, we'll have to take birth in different species of life and begin our activities. Therefore, we should not be satisfied simply by promotion to the higher planetary system. We should try to get out of the material cosmic manifestation, go to the spiritual world and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our highest achievement. We should not be attracted by anything material, higher or lower, but should consider them all on the same level. Our real engagement should be inquiring about the real purpose of life and rendering devotional service to the Lord. Thus we will be eternally blessed in our spiritual activities, full of knowledge and bliss. Regulated human civilization promotes dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. In human society, there must be a religion. Without religion, society is only animal society. Economic development and sense gratification must be based on religious principles. When religion, economic development, and sense gratification are adjusted, liberation from this material birth, death, old age, and disease is assured. In the present age of Kali, however, there is no question of religion and liberation. People have taken interests only in economic development and sense gratification, and therefore, despite sufficient economic development all over the world, dealings in human society have become almost animalistic. When everything becomes grossly animalistic, dissolution takes place. This dissolution is to be accepted as Isha Vidvam Shita Shisham. The Lord's so-called blessings of economic development and sense gratification would be conclusively dissolved by destruction. At the end of this Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear as the incarnation of Kalki, and his only business will be to kill all human beings on the surface of the globe. After that killing, another golden age will begin. We should therefore know that our material activities are just like childish play. Children play on the beach, and the father will sit and watch his childish play. The construction of buildings with sand, the construction of walls and so many things. But finally, the father will ask the children to come home, and then everything is destroyed. People who are too much addicted to the childish activities of economic development and sense gratification are sometimes especially favored by the Lord when he destroys their construction of these things. It is said by the Lord, Yashaham anu grinami harishi tad dhanam shanai. The Lord told Yudhisthira Maharaj that his special favor is shown to his devotees when he takes away all the devotees' material opulences. Generally, therefore, it's experienced that Vaishnavas are not very opulent in material sense. When a Vaishnava, pure devotee, tries to be materially opulent and at the same time desires to serve the Supreme Lord, his devotional service is checked. The Lord, in order to show him special favor, destroys his so-called economic development and material opulences. Thus the devotee, being frustrated by his repeated attempts at economic development, ultimately takes solid shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. This kind of action may also be accepted as Isha Vidvam Shita Shisham, whereby the Lord destroys one's material opulences, but enriches one in spiritual understanding. In the course of our preaching work, we sometimes see that materialistic persons come to us and offer their obeisances to take blessings, which means they want more and more material opulences. If such material opulences are checked, such persons are no longer interested in offering obeisances to the devotees. Such materialistic persons are always concerned with their economic development. They offer obeisances to saintly persons or the Supreme Lord and give something in charity for preaching work, with a view that they will be rewarded with further economic development. However, when one is sincere in his devotional service, the Lord obliges the devotee to give up his material opulence and completely surrender unto him. Because the Lord does not give blessings of material opulence to his devotees, people are afraid of worshipping Lord Vishnu, because they see that the Vaishnavas, who are worshippers of Lord Vishnu, are poor in superficial material opulence. Such materialistic persons, however, get immense opportunity for economic development by worshipping Lord Shiva, for Lord Shiva is the husband of the goddess of fortune, the proprietor of this universe. By the grace of Lord Shiva, a devotee gets the opportunity to be blessed by the goddess Durga. Ravana, for example, was a great worshipper and devotee of Lord Shiva. And in return, he got all the blessings of goddess Durga. So much so that his whole kingdom was constructed of golden buildings. In Brazil, in this present age, huge quantities of gold have been found. And from historical references in the Puranas, we can guess safely that this was Ravana's kingdom. This kingdom was, however, destroyed by Lord Ramchandra. By studying such incidents, we can understand the full meaning of Isha Vishvam Sita Shisham. The Lord does not bestow his material blessings on the devotees, for they may be entrapped again in this material world by continuous birth, old age, disease and death. Due to materialistic opulences, persons like Ravana became puffed up for sense gratification. Ravana even dared to kidnap Sita, who was both the wife of Lord Ramchandra and the goddess of fortune, thinking that he would be able to enjoy the pleasure potency of the Lord. But actually, by such action, Ravana became Vidvamsita, or ruined. At the present moment, human civilization is too much attracted to economic development and sense gratification, and is therefore nearing the path of ruination. Om Agyan Timitanda Shidhananda Nanjalakya Takshura Manitanda Yimita Jaya Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vartha Shivashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 So, Prabhupada is finishing his purport using this word, Vidvamsita Shisha, Vidvamsita, he's mentioning it. Vidvamsita, Sita, or ruins. And he quotes Ravana, how Ravana was performing austerities. As a duty of a Brahman performs austerity. So it comes under pious activities. But what was his goal, Ravana's goal? It was simply to increase his material opulences. So ultimately he was killed because of stealing Sita. So this word, Prabhupada using this word in this connection, Vidvamsita. Ruined, destroyed. So he's quoting Ravana's example to see how ultimately that Sita killed him or ruined him. Vidvamsita had destroyed him. But actually, he was pious because he was performing austerities. And actually, Ravana performed these austerities here in Rudradweep, where we are now. This is Rudradweep. Ravana performed austerity. That's how he got his immense powers. He never did done. But what did he do with those that piety? He misused it. He tried to use it for himself. So this is the point that's been made here, that everything can be used in Krishna's service, or should be used in Krishna's service. It shouldn't be used for our own sense gratification. So this is the cause of bondage. In the Prabhupada's quoting Srimad Bhagavatam, how in the second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhamma Prajita, that all the cheating processes are kicked out in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam begins at this point, it's kicking out Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, which is stressed so much as the progressive goals of life. But if Bhagavatam rejects those right in the beginning as cheating processes. Because we've seen mostly that people perform these different pious activities, or dharma, artha, karma, all of these activities, but generally they're simply interested in the result, but not the result of moksha, just the immediate results they can enjoy in this material world. So Prabhupada says in that purport, the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, said that he performed pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. So dharma, from dharma it's a progression. You do your dharma nicely, you'll get artha, you get economic development. And when the economic development is going nicely, you get money, you can buy your sense gratification. So it's a progression. Then ultimately you should give it up, moksha. But people are interested in the progression up to sense gratification. That much they like. They don't like the moksha idea. But okay, we'll do some dharma because then we'll become economic developed and then we'll have sense gratification. So this is the goal they're looking at. So this dharma is condemned, although it's considered dharma in the Vedic scriptures. Follow these, this is your dharma. So they're performing to gain something material, but if such gains are obtainable in other ways, then the so-called religion is neglected. This is the situation in the modern civilization. Man is thriving economically, so at the present, he's not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques and temples are now practically vacant. Men are more interested in factories, shops and cinemas than in religious places which were erected by their forefathers. This practically proves that religion is performed for some sense, for some economic gains. The Prabhupada is pointing out the modern society and how if they can get economic development without dharma, they'll go for that. So now we have, as Prabhupada always points out, big cities and big factories, and so you can get instant money there. You go and work there, you get instant money, and then you can get your sense gratification. So why go to church? Prabhupada's pointing out, if you can get something without religious, then people will have a tendency to do that. So that we see in the present day, they dropped religion practically and more interested in just making money so they can enjoy it. So Prabhupada's saying this practically proves that religion is performed, most people perform religion for some economic gain. They go and they pray and they to get some economic gain. So the example is America. Because America is a relatively new country, 500 years old, like Christopher Columbus went about 500 years ago. And so then they found it was a new land. We found the place we're looking for. It's if we can build a heaven on earth. So everyone was excited, so especially from Europe. So many people from Europe went to settle in America and they all became settlers. Now, mostly they're all Christian based, so the rule was you have to go to church. You have to go to church and pray for your daily bread and your economy. You have to do it. There's no question of not going. So everybody was trained like that. We're building up the country. We're all new. In God we trust. They still got that on their currency. So you have to go to church because we're pioneers and we're building up this great land. So you were forced to go to church. There's no question of not going to church. So as a result of that, still dharma, even though they were forced to. But it was dharma, they were going to church and depending on God, please give a second, whatever. So as a result of dharma, then economic development comes. So then they become very affluent, in this country. And then when the affluence is there, then you can enjoy it. So much enjoyment is there. So America is very advanced in its enjoying facilities, in the way of amenities and everything. So many things they have. So they're getting their sense in China, but they're not interested in the final goal, the moksha side, the becoming free from these material entanglements. So that's the progression. Because of Dharma, because they perform Dharma, then you get economic development. And then with economic development, then you can get your sense gratification. But the problem is, see, the forefathers were religious, so they had to build up through Dharma. Then the next generations are coming, and they're just living off the economic development from their forefathers, created by their piety and by their religion, by their Dharma. And so now, that why we go to church? We are creating everything we need. We can in our facilities. So now this, it becomes very godless, and so then it starts to decline. Prabhupada said it'll finish soon. It'll decline and finish, because the reason you get economic development is through Dharma. It's no other way. It's not simply by working hard that you get your economic development. It's because of the Dharma. That's the reason you get proper economic development. Now, two businessmen. One makes it the same, they're doing the same thing, then exactly the same thing, that is the same mentalities practically. And one makes it in the world and the other one doesn't. He's struggling hard all the time. He was working as hard, he was doing the same, they were doing the same things. One made it, one didn't. Why? No, because it means the other one, the one who made it, previous life he was pious. Now he's receiving the results of his piety. The piety is from economic development. He flourishes. And the other one, he doesn't. He wasn't because, you know, nothing works for him. It's because he wasn't pious in previous life. He didn't have that backing to give him that facility for economic development. So... and Prabhupada said this repeats itself again and again in history. We have big civilizations, the Roman civilization, the Greek civilization. But they were very religious. You trace out all these religions, they were God-centered in the beginning. And then they built up like that. Rome is the... they built up a great empire, and they conquered so much of Europe. They even got to England. And later on, they become so affluent that then the later descendants, they were just born into the affluence, so they just like to try to enjoy like anything. So the Romans are famous for their affluence of enjoying. That was the whole thing, big arenas for enjoying and... but then ultimately the whole empire is finished. It gets squandered away by the later descendants. They're not performing any dharma, so there's no economic development, and they lose all their sense gratification. So these are vivid examples in history. You see, these the same principle is repeating itself. So, the idea what's being stressed here is that the Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha is not bad things, but it's the way you apply them that may be wrong. The mentality behind the application of these principles. So if they're being used just for just to attain sense gratification without understanding the higher purpose of life, then they're actually condemned. So even in the name of Dharma, so whatever unites us to worldly life, it stands to be self-condemned for that very reason. You're performing Dharma because it says do like this, in the scriptures. You're doing like that, but if it increases your identity, worldly affection, then the very Dharma itself becomes condemned. Because of the very fact that it's binding you more in this material world, even though it's under the heading of Dharma. So when it's misused, and it's from, it's like Arjuna, he was speaking about Dharma, he was really concerned and thought he was right. My family, my dynasty, I got a kingdom. So it's a fact, all these, and Arjuna gave some good arguments from the Dharma Shastras. But what is that Dharma? It's simply reinforcing that idea that I'm part of this family, that my dynasty, I shouldn't kill them, it's impious. It's not pious to kill your own family, it says in the Dharma Shastras. So he's so attached to Dharma, his family Dharma, main Bhatra, etc. That Dharma itself is keeping one attached. It increases one's attachment to the material world. So therefore that becomes content. Just like morality in this material world, morality can be more harmful than immorality. Because that also caters to strengthen one's identity as, you know, being a very moral man and very strict. So the more you emphasize, the more you become, it becomes an attachment to the material world. I am a moral man. The identification, all these identifications we bring in on. So in the name of Dharma, if they're simply giving us more attachment, then that is self-condemned by the very fact that it is binding us to this material world. So, actually, morality or immorality, we may see as good or bad, but without relationship with the Supreme Lord, they're both bad, morality and immorality. Who cares for them? They're both bad. Because there's no connection with the Lord. So, the whole idea is that the Dharma, Artha and Karma and Moksha are used in connection with our eternal identity as eternal servants of Krishna, then it's a good thing. But if it's used simply to, without the understanding the final goal of being the servant of Krishna, then it is simply creating bondage, it's giving you a stronger sense of ego that, you know, you're a part of this material world and all the identities that go with the with the body and names, etc. So this is condemned. There's one famous verse: if one follows all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, but he doesn't come to the point of devotional service, then what's the use of following all those rules and regulations? And if one comes to devotional service, then what is the use of following all the rules and regulations? In other words, the purpose of all the rules and regulations is to bring one to the point of devotional service. And if one comes to devotional service. If one comes to devotional service, then what is the purpose of following all the rules and regulations of the Vedas? Because that's the purpose. You've already achieved the purpose. So, it's not that we're criticizing Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, they're progressive, but we're criticizing the persons who have the wrong mentality, who are not identifying themselves, but they're using these things to, and it's simply, Dharma, Artha, and Karma is simply keeping them bound up in this material world. So that's why it's criticized. That's what Bhagavatam kicks out. That which is propagating bodily consciousness, the Dharma which is promoting bodily consciousness. Deva Rishi Prabhu, you probably all heard that he left his body yesterday. 2:30, auspicious day. He was fasting for a codicil. Very auspicious. Leave your body during a vrata in the area of Navadvip Dham, right outside one Gaudiya Math temple. And Srimati Mataji was chanting the holy names. So. Seems very auspicious. Anyway, he says he is leaving the polyclinic by the culvert at 9:30, and he will go to the Prabhupada Ghat. They will perform the Antiyesti. So everybody is invited to join that procession. I also got a message from. Acupuncturist lady, Metila, yes, because she was treating also Deva Rishi, and she said, "I cannot help you. My needles are." She actually analysed. He's got as tuberculosis. She said, "My medicine, my needles can't help you." So she was treating for him for a while, and she said that in this state, it's very highly contagious. And even she was affected by it. She started to get affected. She's a doctor, she knows how to get over it. But she said nobody should touch his body or even the cloth, because it may be infected, and it's very highly contagious. Tuberculosis. They have a hospital there in Dubliya, and they used to cater for tuberculosis patients. And the patients would have to stay there for 1 year, take medicine for 1 year. And most people who died of tuberculosis, because they didn't bother to take the medicine after some, it just went on so long they didn't. And if they're a little bit undernourished or anything like that, then that disease becomes very serious. So they used to keep them in the hospital for 1 year. The idea, the main idea of why that was that they will give them the medicine every day. Because if they go home, they'll probably stop. It's a horrible medicine or something. They'll probably stop. So anyway, she was warned that as much as possible, those who don't have to touch the body to. Anyway, we can offer our condolences. Maybe we should come. Any comment, question? Yes, Hare Krishna.
I'm a little confused. What's the relationship between devotional service and piety? Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that those persons who've acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are eradicated, they become free from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my devotional service with great determination. So there seems, by verses like that, there's some relationship between piety and devotion to Lord Krishna. Is this a fact, or?
Yes. By becoming pious and free from sin, as mentioned in that verse, then it makes you, a person is more susceptible to receive the mercy of a devotee. An impious person, he may not be so susceptible, be able to receive the mercy of a pure devotee so easily, but a pious man who is purified to some extent, he can take advantage of that and receive mercy from that devotee. Prabhupada said a few, maybe last chapter or chapter before, he was talking about Aryans, the Aryan race. They very easily pick up, he said, on Krishna consciousness because of their piety. He said, but we are preaching in the Western countries and we're having lots of success there. He said, but the people, they're not Aryans. They weren't born Aryans. They were born, Malachas, Yavanas and things like that. But we see that they're taken to Krishna consciousness very easily. And he said, this is... this is because of... he also indicated that they were coming from Kshatriya stock from the time of Parasuram, and they fled to Europe and other places. He said, so they proved themselves. Now they're a little bit together economically. And they can do things. They can get it together. So they proved themselves a little bit like that. He said, but because... because of the potency, the power of the holy name, he said they very easily pick up this Krishna consciousness. Even though they're not Aryans, but when they hear the holy name from the lips of a pure devotee, they can pick it up easily. So in other words, the holy name is so powerful that even the Yamanas, the Malachas, simply by hearing it, they can destroy all of their sins. And they can easily pick it up, they can take to Krishna consciousness. Actually, Prabhupada, that verse you quoted, 7th chapter, 28th. Yeah. Prabhupada comments on that a couple of times. He says here, Krishna says, those who are purified in previous births and this birth, and their sins, they can take to my service. They can take to my devotional service. Prabhupada says that... again, he mentions... because they come into contact with the holy name, and they chant Hare Krishna, then they're able to take the devotional service. That means the holy name has purified all their past sinful activities and present sinful activities. And another time he was commenting on the same verse. Then he said, because the devotees, they follow Krishna's instructions, sarva dhanam parityaja, and they surrender to me, and Krishna says, I'll take away all that stuff. So even though they're coming from sinful, so-called sinful backgrounds, but they take to the process of surrendering to Krishna, and Krishna, he takes away all their sinful activities from past lives and this life, and then they can engage in Krishna consciousness. The all-merciful nature of the Lord.
I have two questions. One is based on purport of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says that if Krishna takes everything away from a pure devotee, it's to show him a special mercy. So what about if Krishna takes everything away from non-experienced devotee, from some newified? It's first question. And second question, after Soviet Union broke apart,
after
Soviet Union was ruined, fell apart, so some people became very rich, but and they were called new Russians, but we all know that that these people, these particular people, are most unreligious people. And all others, they became poor, and these people who are very far from religious, from religion, they became very rich. So how is it, according to what you explained, dharma, in these terms?
How old is the communist movement? How old is it? The communist movement?
It's about 70 years.
How many?
70
years. Yeah, so it's quite modern. It's quite modern, actually. So before that, I think they must have been quite pious there. I think religion was open, must have been openly practiced before, because they had many old cathedrals and things like that then. So obviously they were quite religious previously, before the communist atheistic propaganda was there. It's modern thing, it's communism. Anyway, it's, if not in this life, previous life, they were pious. That's how they were able to get their economic development. And the other, what was the other question?
If Krishna takes away everything from a pure devotee.
Well, the devotee, even if he's not a pure devotee, he's talking about a neophyte devotee, he can also see it as Krishna's mercy. Anyone can see it as Krishna's mercy if everything is taken away from them. Krishna says, if I favor someone, this is what life is all about. This is what the Vedas are all about, receiving the favor of Lord Vishnu. And he is completely independent. He can give to whoever he likes, or not give to whoever he likes. That is prerogative. You may have done something that Krishna's just attracted. Okay, he can give his blessing. So we cannot demand that, but Krishna is independent, he is. So somehow or another, maybe from previous, but somehow or another you've done something that Krishna is attracted. So even for you so-called neophyte devotee, from Krishna's angular vision, they're all pure devotees. But from his angular vision then, he can take away, even from anyone, to bring that devotee to his proper understanding. He takes away all the riches, and the devotee becomes bereft of opulence. Then all of his relatives desert him because he hasn't got any money. he's destitute, he hasn't got anything. So then these relatives also leave him. So he becomes double unhappy, Prabhupada said. First he's unhappy because he loses all his money. Krishna took it away. Then all his relatives, they also desert him. So he becomes doubly unhappy. Then he can take his surrender to Krishna. And Prabhupada often quotes that his own example. How his shop, was it in the Lalabad, was burned down, or he had a fete, everything was stolen, and then Prabhupada laughed and he remembered that verse. But they took everything he had, Krishna took everything he had. But there's another purport also, and Prabhupada says that if Krishna specially favors one, he takes away all of his offerings. But actually, if Krishna favors one even more, he will give him opulence. He says, if a devotee can become very opulent, if he knows how to use it, he should take that as a more special favor than Krishna. Because he knows how to utilize that money. And therefore Krishna gives it. He won't give to a devotee who may misuse it or become influenced. But he said, if he sees the devotee is sincere, he gives more money. He said, that should be understood more mercy than taking away. Because that devotee knows how to use it. And Prabhupada was indicating his own case. And Prabhupada had nothing when he went to America, but then he became headed. His properties all over the world. He was very, very affluent. So he was indicating that actually this was a more mercy from Krishna coming to him in the form of giving him all the facilities of him, because he knew how to use it. Yes.
What's the difference between a person that approaches the Lord for their daily bread, asking for material boons, and a devotee that has material desires and approaches the Lord with those material desires, or is there no difference?
Yeah, there's a difference. One is approaching the Lord. He has material desires, but he has... he's approaching the Lord, but he desires some service, he desires relationship. But the one praying for his daily bread, he may not be interested in the relationship, he may be interested in getting his bread from God. So that's good, but that's like Shantaras. Give us our daily bread. But there's no real question of service, I want to serve you, or exchanging. It's only give, you give. But the other one, he's a neophyte, he has desires, but he wants to approach the Lord and serve the Lord in the mood of service. So that's Dasaras. So that's, at least the bhakti is there, and Shantaras, there's no bhakti really. So that Krishna, bhakti is pleasing to Krishna. It's an airborne... Tuberculosis is an airborne disease. That means you can pick it up even in the air. Is there any... where he got it from? I don't know, but I heard yesterday someone told me that he... Generally, everyone has tuberculosis, their portion. And within... But that's good, because it fights... It fights tuberculosis when it comes, so you have your immunity system is there. If you don't have any tuberculosis, then it's more dangerous, actually. And actually, my father died of tuberculosis, and I was negative. Practically all my family were positive. That means there was some tuberculosis. They had tuberculosis in small portions. So then they could resist it when it came. Well, I didn't have anything, so I remember going to the hospital. I used to go every week, and they would give me injection, tuberculosis injection. So I get a little bit of a tuberculosis. So that would be my resistance against tuberculosis. So it's there in most people. And especially if you become sickly and you neglect and you're weak and things like that, then it catches hold. But it's prominent. Everybody has it, actually, tuberculosis a little bit. Most people have it. But if it's given the chance, and his health, David Rishi let his health go way down and he was really skinny, and so then you don't have any resistance. So then that can become very strong, that tuberculosis can take over. The Prabhupada ki. Deva Rishi Prabhu ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. Deva Rishi Prabhu ki.